I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Junk Time AFL Podcast for second week of the finals 2023. We come to you from Wayne Jackson Studios and Rod Carter Studios. My name is Michael Chamberlain. And joining me is a man who has had the shine taken off Carlton Twin. It's Adam Rosenbikes.
G'day, Michael. G'day, Junk Timers. Yeah, you would think that after Friday night's win, and we'll get to that shortly, you'd think I would be cock-a-hoop about this AFL season. But I think probably the shine, even, you know, you probably expect Collingwood and Brisbane to go through. That's my tips for the grand final. And even if Collingwood somehow get through and win the big one after, you know, Fly McRae has resurrected that team, I just don't think there can be any joy associated with their win, even if Brisbane get up, even if GWS get through for their inaugural flag, even if Carlton get up after 27 years in the wilderness, none of it will matter because Matthew Lloyd has been barred from doing trade radio by his corporate owners, have pulled the leash and said, Lloydie, you're not doing trade radio. And I don't think footy's the same, Michael. I'm sorry we just started off on this note, but I just can't handle it.
Do you feel like maybe we just kind of call an end to it now? Like, call off the AFLM, call off the AFLW. Like, let's just kind of wait till 2024 and just have a new start.
Is it really a trade period if Matthew Lloyd is not there to kick off the day?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, like, most people don't even give a shit about the grand final. They just look forward to 7 a.m. on a Monday morning in October. That's what every football fan looks forward to when Lloydie picks up the headphones and goes, who's going to be the first trade? What's going to be the first domino to fall?
Well, I've always thought, and pardon me if I'm incorrect here, but I always thought we purely played the AFL season to get to trade radio. So it's almost like the kind of, it's almost like they put on, I'm sure it's a money-losing operation. They put it on just so they can talk about stuff on trade radio. That was my understanding for a long time.
And how can I want to know what Lloydie is thinking about where Brody Grundy is going to end up.
Yep. No, that's always been front of my mind as well. And
It's like, and you know, obviously Port Adelaide has pulled out and Sydney is the only team that is currently into it. But that doesn't matter. They can still posit the fact that he might end up at 17 different teams, including Collingwood again, and somehow will play for Melbourne again, and Melbourne will trade themselves the first pick in the future draft. Because that's what trade radio does, Michael.
Well, that's the thing.
It gives you equations that you'd never even thought of.
It's not the same. I've got a tattoo of Matthew Lloyd on my body and a little speech bubble, and he's saying future first round pick. And I feel weird now. I actually feel weird now for getting that tattoo. I didn't feel weird about it a couple of days ago. But no. In fact, many people stop me in the street and admire it. But now I just look silly.
No, that I understand. But I understand why you got it, mate, because it's just they go hand in hand. I don't want to say it's too strong to say that once Ron Barassi heard the news...
Fucking hell.
That he just went, I've had enough.
I've had a good life.
I have, but if there's not going to be a Matthew Lloyd-led trade radio on a Monday morning in October, what's the point of carrying on? And I understand it. He's gone to the big MCG in the sky and, you know, valet Ron Barassi, but it's a sad time. It's a sad time for Ron's family, and they're probably – it's a double mourning for them.
Well, I mean, I actually would have – if I was Ron's family. I don't know if he was at home or maybe at a hospital or something like that. But
he would have been listening to last year's trade radio.
Well, yeah, for sure. But I actually would have been very clear to instruct nurses and family members not to tell Ron Barassi that Matthew Lloyd's not on trade radio.
Yeah, you'd put that in your will.
Keep him in a bubble. Just let him think that Matthew Lloyd's going to be on trade radio.
Yeah, it's just it's a sad state of affairs. I mean, Come on, Channel 9. So it's Channel 9 and The Age, yeah, who own 3AW.
It's because, yeah, Lloydie's on 3AW, so they've blocked him.
And so they've kind of gone, yeah, it's a conflict of interest. And you know what I like is they've stood up and gone, there cannot be one single iota of conflict of interest in the AFL media. And finally, someone has stood up for this, because I don't think there's ever been a conflict of interest across any AFL media in the history of the game.
It's very funny.
And I'm glad that Nine have gone, well, we're not going to start it because we don't want that at all.
It's very funny that when you think about all the media conflict of interest, people have become presidents of clubs, and then there's like sponsorship deals and little backyard deals, and
come to
this club, Chris Judd, for a salary, and then
if you're going to have a crack at him being a hard-working recycling man, I'm going to have to stop you right there. Fucking that is unfair.
Captain Planet over there. And and then finally, the one thing they pull up on is...
They draw the line. Line in the sand.
A two-hour morning shift on Trade Radio for 2 weeks.
Yeah. A purely online show.
Oh, nuts. Nuts.
So, but I'll tell you what's a great conflict of interest is our live show. If you want to see people who are more than happy to be bribed or to spruik a product,
come along
to our pathetic attempt at comedy.
Fuck yeah. It's our traditional annual live show with the guys from Two Guys, One Cup, Will Anderson and Charlie Clawson. The day after the grand final, Sunday, October 1, 4 p.m. at Morris House. Tickets can be found at Try Booking. And they're flying off the shelf, Adam. They're flying off the shelf.
They actually genuinely are. I think it's going to be a full house. It's downstairs again where we were last year. They've done a refurb. If you were there earlier for our live show a couple of weeks ago, you know it's a fantastic room.
Yeah.
It's going to be a fantastic arvo. We always have someone from the grand final team join us. We had Richard Di Natale on our second ever show. We had Dave O'Neill join us last year. Hopefully, it will be me,
yeah,
having come straight from some kind of celebration at Prince's Park.
That's the thing, man. So I was saying to this, think to a couple of viewers at the live show in early September, 2 weeks ago. And you know, that kind of thing, because it's notorious, like 5 years ago, that we crushed Scott Dooley's Collingwood heart with our cold, bare cold hands.
Yeah.
But I feel like if Charlie lost the grand final, I feel like we'd go a little bit easy on him by the fact it's, you know, he's never seen one. And then Will, like, we didn't go too hard. I mean, on that was a Doom show, so it was a bit differently when the Dogs lost.
Yes.
And then I think if you lose, it is going to be the most fun I will have ever had for an hour and a half, just bringing up every little bit. But then I also know, as Alan Jean said to Derek Burton before the 89 grand final, he said, you know, sometimes, you know, you're obviously kind of the one, you know, shooting the gun, but sometimes, you know, today is the gun's going to be at your head. I know if Hawthorn fucking lost the grand final, I would have to go into fucking witness protection, because you guys would fucking destroy me so bad. So bad.
You know what? I probably, if Carlton do happen to make it, and obviously we've got Brisbane this Saturday night, we wouldn't want to lose in a close one. I think if Carlton lost and got demolished, you'd be like, yeah, it was over early.
Sure.
But if it was a tight one where we fucked it up and you could run through every moment in the last quarter, that would be truly devastating. So, Junk Timers, grab your tickets, trybooking.com. You never know what's on the cards.
So, let's take us through Friday. So, the build-up. What were you feeling before the game?
Look, I wasn't that confident, and because I thought both teams had really good back lines, both teams had really solid midfields, and I was saying to mates, I think it's a battle of the least dysfunctional forward line, which is exactly how it kind of turned out. Like Melbourne basically kicked themselves out of it, and I had friends ask me afterwards, you know, were you nervous? And in about the 6 minutes leading up to before us taking the lead, I was actually resigned to us losing, so I wasn't nervous at all, because it was kind of like Melbourne were peppering. It was like the dam wall was about to break, and you kind of went, you know what? We made semis. We were 14th at some point during the year.
Yep.
Well done, boys. We did well to get to this point. And then we just went bang, 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 goal. And it was like, oh, fuck. This last minute was one of the worst minutes of my fucking life.
Yeah, sure thing. Sure thing. Because it was mainly played in Melbourne's forward half in that last quarter, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, they kicked five behinds in a row. I think Carlton kicked one goal in between all that. But, yeah, so that they were peppering away and just couldn't put us away.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was getting to the point where I wanted to head back in and had there were no oysters on Friday night, which I thought wasn't a good omen.
I'm surprised you didn't just leave immediately and go home.
It was offset by the free margaritas.
Oh, really?
And the brisket on wafer, which was truly delicious.
Yeah, sure.
Brisket. So
brisket on a wafer. Good. I've never really thought of brisket as a wafer kind of food.
No, but it worked quite well, Michael. You had the
good on the palate, was it? Yeah.
It was the tenderness, and then of the brisket combined with the crunch of the wafer. Beautiful combination.
Wow, you really
well thought out.
Really painted a picture there, Matt Preston.
Well, mate, I'm just telling you what my Friday night was like, yeah, mate. Sure, don't shoot the messenger, okay?
And so, obviously, yes, you went to the AFL function. Yep. Can you take us through that? Does Gil give a speech at those kind of things?
Yes. So this was the third speech I'd seen of his.
Must they be played running like a out little.
Well, I guess so, because he kind of did all his Carlton jokes last week.
Yep,
so there
sure.
was kind of a few more. But it was kind of just a. You know, welcome to everyone who's here, Melbourne supporters and Carlton supporters. It was the first time, I guess, we were in the room together. So there was, you know, jokes made at each other's expense. But it was very much a facsimile of what we'd heard the previous week.
Yep.
But I don't know how many people would have been repeats apart from, you know, my good self and some of my friends.
Yeah, sure. So
and Luke Sayers, obviously.
So margaritas, that seems like a bit of a different take.
Mate, it's just, you know, it's a bit of pizzazz. That's what we do in the finals, behind glass.
And then so just brisket, so was it finger food or was this a sit-down dinner?
No, it was finger food prior and then a sit-down dinner. So we had like a poached chicken to start off with.
Yep.
And then the main was some kind of slow-cooked meat. It was really delicious, Michael. I highly recommend coming in one day.
And you were getting on the froths, like, or you...
Absolutely.
But you didn't want to go too crazy? Like before.
No, I wanted to go crazy. It was free, mate. So as soon as you get those asahis into you, you know, you're going six deep at the bar and you're like, come on. We tried to get drinks during Gil's speech and they said no service.
Yeah, gotcha.
And we're like, well, this is bullshit. It's gone on too long.
I reckon that's an order from Gil. Like, he knows what it's like to hear him talk for 15 minutes. And then
there was a little bit of that.
Entertainment?
Yeah, there was a singer. I did not recognise her, but she might have been from a musical or something.
Yep.
And she just did a couple of covers and, you know, was very, very good, but it was just like, oh, I don't need to be.
Yeah, sure.
We don't need this.
And then into the game, so.
And then we headed out, yeah, and it was kind of like Melbourne got away early and then Carlton sort of came back and then it was pretty tight and you just thought this could go either way. And then, like I said, I thought Melbourne had it and they kind of did and they just couldn't put us away.
I was actually watching.
At the end of the game, mate, I've never felt that kind of elation.
Yeah, sure.
In my life.
Well, people were saying that the stands were shaking.
Yeah.
The other teams were quaking in their boots.
It was incredible.
I was actually in a pub in Newtown watching it, and that place was going off. Like, it was chock-a-block full of Carlton supporters. Like, there was no noise at all when Melbourne kicked the goal. But yeah, they were going
that's
nuts.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I don't know if that might be maybe the, you know, the pub that Carlton supporters, you know, gather to. Like, clubs up here will have maybe certain pubs. Like, there's one pub in Alexandria. I've gone down to that's the kind of the Hawthorne pub.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Sick, man. So then, what do you do after it? Do you go back into the room, just get on the asahis again?
Absolutely. So we stuck around for like another hour. It was pretty loose by the time we left, and then there were just Carlton people coming up, and you're just hugging people.
Yeah.
And Andy Maher had done the SEN call.
Yeah, that was nuts.
And yeah, his partner, Emma, friend of the show, was in the room. And then Andy came down and so we were fucking hugging him. And I was talking to Mike Fitzpatrick and Diesel. And it was just fucking bananas.
Yeah, sure. Ligon Street went off as well. Like, people were walking down the middle of Ligon Street.
Were they really?
Yeah.
I didn't see any of that vision.
Yeah. So a mini Swan Street celebration.
Yeah. And also, there was an amnesty on shootings down Ligon Street for the night.
Yep.
So it's a good. It's people celebrating all around.
Yeah, for sure. No, everyone put their angle grinders down for the night. And
but mate, it was one of the best nights I think I've ever had in my life. Like the joy. I've never felt joy like that.
Yeah, sure. So what are you thinking for next Saturday then?
Oh yeah. So instantly, everyone started jumping on Webjet to try and see what the flights are going to be like. And
almost immediately they were $600 each way to Brizzy.
Mm.
And then we kind of had to work out whether we could get tickets, and we could. But by the time we could, it was like $900 a pop. Yeah. And I just went, yeah, fuck that. Because all I have in my head is 2018 when Melbourne made that amazing run to make the prelim against West Coast.
Yeah.
And then people were paying like $3,000 and flying through Bali and stuff, and they didn't kick a goal to halftime.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun to go to that trip, but it's a long fucking way home if you get crushed.
And that's what I was concerned about. So I shan't be going. I'll just be watching in Melbourne.
Yeah, sure. Do you think a Brayshaw would have been the difference, Adam?
Look, he wouldn't have hurt them.
No.
It wasn't upset that he, you know, obviously we wish the best to Angus Brayshaw, but to have him, someone of his calibre, out of the team, thank you, Braden Maynard. You really did the Blues a favour. Having said that, Carlton, you know, Harry Mackay was concussed the week before, so he would have been a handy in as well.
That Maynard stuff feels like a week ago. I mean, sorry, it was a week ago, but it feels like 7 years ago.
Yeah, it does. It's kind of like they just, as soon as he got off, everyone just went, oh, well, yes, yeah. I suppose we move on. What did you make of Braden visiting Angus while all his teammates were there?
Well, I found it interesting by the fact that they're apparently mates. They play junior football together. But I found the reporting interesting because they said it was pretty frosty. And Max Gorn was there. And was there maybe, was it possibly Petrarca as well?
I think there was like eight or nine blokes
there. Oh, really? Okay, gotcha. So yeah,
Brayshaw's got a concussion. He doesn't need to be overwhelmed with fucking 10 blokes standing around.
Well, I thought maybe just kind of let him go for the day at least, you know, send him a text and then kind of, you know, when he's up for it. But they said that Caro reported it was very frosty and the gifts weren't very much appreciated. But then I heard Max Gorn on
Monday. So he rocked up with a bottle of wine and a bouquet of flowers. So, and also, if you're rocking up with wine, like, Melbourne's sponsored by Grange. Like, are you going to top that, Braden?
Yeah.
Like, you've really got to dig deep to get something better than what his own club can supply him.
Yeah, you really do. Like, bring a bottle of wine. It's like, oh, you're cool. Well, we use that for cooking.
I reckon, like, if he rocked up with a car, he goes, I bought you a car. And he goes, mate, we're sponsored by Jag. Like, I don't need this.
Yeah. But then Max Gorn, I heard him in Marty Shugart's breakfast show in Melbourne, and he was saying that, no, it was a completely different thing. He said, I got the flowers and I put them in a vase, and then Brayshaw's fiance said, no, that was the wrong vase, then put it in that one, and he said, yeah, it was very cordial.
Well, that doesn't sound like it went down too well. I mean, if that kind of stuff, if you can't pick the right vase, how is that guy captaining a football team? You know what I'm saying? Like, that kind of leadership instantly, like, I instantly got on the Blues and put money on him. As soon as I heard that, I was like, mate, the guy doesn't even know what vase these fucking flowers belong in.
I mean, that's the kind of stuff the leadership group really needs to look at. Yeah. I mean, kind of say, Maxie, like, you know, we're going to take you to Bed Bath and Beyond and, you know, show you the ropes, mate.
Mate, if you got leading teams in and said, I want you to stop doing, I want you to start doing, all of them will be flower-based.
We need to get the gang from Queer Eye in to show Gorny how to decorate.
You're right.
So
can we talk about Max Gorn's tapping the ball back in of his own goal?
Dude, nightmare. Yeah. Absolute nightmare. Now, I presume he was maybe trying just to kind of chop those arms?
No, I think this is the only explanation I can have for what Max Gorn did was I think he thought that Carlton players would touch it and so he would thump it back in
to keep
the ball alive.
Ugh.
And then we didn't get a hand on it and he thumped it into the post.
Dude, nightmare. Mm. That would really haunt you, wouldn't it?
Hopefully it does.
Do you think Melbourne would have made the grand final though? I feel like they wouldn't.
So they would be playing
Brisbane
up there. Oh, that is a very good question. Again, their forward line just wasn't doing enough. So probably not.
Yeah. 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 Be happy where you got Melbourne.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So let's talk about the other prelim. What a fucking massive effort from GWS.
It's like pretty nuts, isn't it?
And firstly, can I just say, to the GWS social media team, you are so fucking good at your job September. It's next level.
Yeah, yeah. I suppose they plan a lot of stuff when they kind of have to put it out, but then also, like, but they're constantly going, and I can't imagine it's just one person. It's got to be a whole bunch of people, surely.
I think it'd be... That would take up most of their soft cap. Like, I think it's just... Adam Kingsley with no assistance because they're just loaded up the social media team.
Yeah, sure, sure. They've just got a big room, a big portable at the back of the bomb, yeah. The beanstalk.
Yeah. So they got like they've hired out like call centers in Bangladesh of just people just churning shit out because they are playing a very strong social media game. And congratulations to GWS.
Now I can't remember who it was yesterday on one of the football shows. But they were suggesting that the Giants are the best team by the fact that they don't have the superstars, but they have great players all around the ground that you know that aren't household names. So they were putting their money on the Giants to take it out, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. I mean, their bottom 10 would be pretty anonymous in Melbourne,
yeah,
wouldn't they?
Yeah. And I think Toby Green has turned into a bit of a lovable larrikin.
Yeah, a bit of a cheeky rogue.
I think a cheeky rogue. I think most people, if you stop people on the street, they'd say they like him a lot.
Yeah, I think since he stopped trying to scrape people's eyeballs out of their heads, sure, with his fingers.
But that can not play well at all times, hey.
So let's talk about Port. So they obviously, you know, were flying during the season, didn't have a great end of it. What do you think that the re-signing of Ken Hinckley in August before any of this played out? Had they gone, we'll wait till Monday, 18th of September before we decide on what to do with Kenny. Do you reckon they're signing him today? Question without notice.
I think they would. How many coaches don't survive making the second week of the finals? I can't remember any off the top of my head. But also, having said that, it's been around since, what, 2013, I think it is?
Yeah, 2013.
Yeah, but I feel like he's done enough to keep the job. Mind you, there was, like, what, a couple of prelims? Over the
Absolutely.
Last few years?
Yeah, no. He's been good across the journey, but it's just they waited so long and then they get to the critical point and they go, we won't worry about what happens in finals. We'll just sign him for another 2 years. It's a very strange decision from Koshy.
It is true, actually. While they have kind of go a month early when they could just do it at the end of the year. But having said that, do you think maybe they did it because they didn't want it to be a distraction for Ken himself or the club itself?
Great question. Because Kenny's very easily distracted, as we all know.
Oh, mate, he's like a little child. He's like picking up. Yeah. That's why they lost. It was just like picking up shiny stuff. And he's like, going, look, I'm on TV.
At quarter time, he was playing bongo, Kenny. Like, it was fucking ridiculous.
I have loved it. So, who do you reckon for Giants and Collingwood then?
I think we're going to have a Collingwood Brisbane grand final.
Yeah, I think you
I
might
think
be
the
right.
Top two teams from the season probably deserve to be in the granny.
Yeah, sure. I mean,
if it ended up any other way, it would be hilarious and great.
A Giants Brisbane grand final would be great. I mean, Carlton Collingwood, I mean, the AFL would
fucking
be fucking
hell.
Loving that. That would be actually the kind of thing where it's like, you know, if I go to the grand final, I usually kind of stroll in about, you know, literally you could stroll in at 2 o'clock and get a standing spot. I reckon I'd have to get there like, you have to get there. They'll shut the gates.
In the morning.
At like 9:30. Yeah.
Yeah. So on Friday night, so they had, I think, 96,400, and I cannot remember seeing a game, like a Carlton game, and you know, because obviously we've been shit for a long time, packed to the back seats, like to the literal rafters, all the way around. It was like nothing I've ever seen. And so if they say that they can get 100,000 people in, I want to know where those other 6,000 people are.
I know, that's the thing. Unless they kind of fill out the standing areas or
Sorry,
stuff 4,000. Like that.
Or
they're all in the bar. Like, they're not actually on a seat.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure where you fit another 4,000 people into that ground. But, it was fucking fun.
But then also, if you think about the Collingwood Giants game, that's going to be one of those examples where it's going to be like a college game. So there's going to be 1,500 Giants fans, if that. And then the whole rest of the crowd will be Collingwood. So that's going to be fucking nuts.
Yeah, it will be fairly lopsided. It'll be fairly quiet. Although, yeah, I guess you're right, because if it was a grand final, you'd be like everyone who wasn't barracking for Collingwood would support them, but they won't be there.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, some troubling news in the AFLW.
Oh, I think this is always going to happen, you know.
A snake on the ground.
So it delayed the start of the game. They had a red belly was on the ground out at the beanstalk.
Where was it? It was down at...
Was it at Blacktown?
Yeah, it was at Blacktown, yeah. So it was Giants versus Richmond. So they had to delay start of ground. The snake, it wasn't like on centre half full. Like, it was around the boundary, wasn't it?
I mean, seriously, can we not play a game? Like, if I see someone bitten by a snake during the game, I'm fucking all in on, like, the, you know, the AFLW. It's just, it's establishing itself. It's getting better. But if you knew that players were running through snakes,
yep,
I think you're getting, you know, more people are tuning in, going, mate, these girls are fucking mad.
And then also, like, put a snake in each zone. So one inside the 50, one in the middle, one inside the 50. And then also...
So it's like 6+1, 6+1, 6+1.
It's not like they don't have a club doctor there who can, you know, suck out the venom if need be.
Yeah. You just got some anti-venom on the sidelines. What the fuck are they worried about?
And then also the snake catcher. Was the most snake-catching looking man of all time.
Yeah.
And I just like to think that he was at the game and he's just like there just in case. It's just his moment to shine. Just goes to games just waiting for snakes to go onto the field.
Yeah. And I think it's a really good symbol for global warming that a snake is out at, you know, a football ground in September. Like, you know, wouldn't you assume that's more your sort of your summer kind of deal?
How did the snake get in? Like, is it a member?
That's a good point. They probably count it. Typical GWS, just trying to bump their numbers. Yeah, it should have been an orange belly snake, and that would have made it more GWS.
Hey, do you want to have a football in real life?
Hit me.
It's kind of in real life. Oh, before we go though, wrapping up our live show with Charlie Clawson and Will Anderson at the day after the grand final. Tickets can be found at Try Booking. Get in quick. From RM. Spotted in Darlinghurst, the very clinic where Kappa got his work done.
Whoa. Kappa's had work done?
A video plays it on a loop. Michael, if you're still in Sydney, it's on William Street. Go Giants.
Okay, so William Street, Shades, you're have you thought about going? Have you thought about getting a little bit of work done yourself? You are looking a little tired.
I'm going to try the advanced hair first and see how that goes.
Yep.
I think I need more, longer, thicker hair.
Thicker hair? Yeah. No, rub it in.
And then I might just go in for a little bit off the nose.
What about some... I reckon you'd be good with some veneers. Some big...
Oh, yeah, sure.
Sam Kekovich type. Go to Thailand.
Yeah, yeah.
Get yourself veneers that you can't quite fit in your mouth.
We're going to hit the road. We are Junktime Alpha Pod at Gmail, Twitter, Facebook and the gram. Go Hawks.
Go Baggers. Come on.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.